Alright, well, in the last class, we started on worship lesson number 7, giving, and I think we're on the top of y'all's page 84. So just a couple of things that we started looking at in the last class was that, and also Rocky mentioned, is prayer. I mean, in his prayer, this idea of thanks, of this giving, it has to do with our heart. And, you know, what our attitude should be as we give, these are things that we should want to do, and because God has asked us to do these things, and this should be our will. And then all the things, I think we mentioned in the last class, all the things that we do, we should always want to do what's God's will. His will should be our will. So when we give, it should be out of love for God and out of love for His people. Because this, as we do this, it helps support our local work, but also these men that we support in other places. So it gives opportunity for them to teach others and for others to come to the knowledge of God. So these are things we need to keep in mind. So as we, one thing we looked at in the last class, and what we give as physical, we reap as spiritual. And of course, as we give with the right heart, that benefits us because it pleases God. But what I had in mind when I put that in there is, as we give and support these men in a physical manner, although this helps to support them in their work, people are benefiting in a spiritual way, okay, because of learning God's will. Now, in the last class where we left off was on the top of page 84. Put the question on there. It says, what does the end of 2 Corinthians 9:7 tell us? Let's look over at 2 Corinthians 9:7. So what can we learn from 2 Corinthians 9:7? What does God love? What does it say in the text there?
Cheerful.
Okay, so God loves a cheerful giver. Now, so does this describe our attitude? What does the beginning of this verse explain about a cheerful giver?
His purpose in his heart.
Okay, purpose in their heart.
Not grudgingly, not feeling like he has to.
Okay, not grudgingly.
But he wants to.
But he wants to. So it all has to do with their heart or their attitude towards this. So not grudgingly or under compulsion. So doesn't this describe the attitude that those had in 2 Corinthians 8? In last class we've already looked at 2 Corinthians 8, but we'll look at verse 3 and 4 to talk about that. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. So we see here that they were wanting to be a part of this work. Now we need to keep in mind that it has to do with more than just purposing. Okay? We need to purpose in our heart, but we see that it is not just to purpose it. It also, we see that we are to do as we have purposed. Okay? So there's more than just the want, okay, we have to follow through. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 9, 4 and 5. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to speak of you, will be put to shame by this confidence. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. So, what would have happened if they came and they had not done as they had purposed?
They would look bad.
Okay. It looked bad.
They'd be embarrassed.
Embarrassed, okay. So, it's not enough just to purpose, okay? But we've got to follow through. Now, when we give, when we're talking about giving, whose is this anyway? Is this ours or God's? God's? Okay. Let's look at Deuteronomy 16. I'm going to read just verse 17 of Deuteronomy 16. It says, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you." So all this, although this is speaking of what they were to do in the Old Covenant, some of the things that are explained have always been the same. I noted here Genesis 1:1. We don't have to turn there. We're all familiar with that. But in the beginning, God created. You see this idea that God has given, and the Lord your God is giving you. This is not a new idea. Now in this verse 17, it says, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you." So, we see these blessings come from God. And these things are God's. We're just stewards of these things. So how will we handle these? How will we use these? Now, back in 2 Corinthians, Corinthians 9:6, and it's not limited to this passage, but I want us to look at this and see what we can learn from it. Now, in 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now, in verse 6, who is this? Who are they talking about here? Who is giving and reaping? Okay, and I didn't mean for it to be a trick question here, but it's the saints. But who is supposed to be the cheerful giver in verse 7? We are okay. We are or saints or.
This is this, if I'm understanding, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Or even man, because really my point here is God and man. So who is the look at verse 15? Whose gift is this?
God.
Okay. So thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. So we see how. In these verses, that you'll see the idea that it's our gift, but you also see the idea that it's His gift. So And we have mentioned in a previous class that we don't know how God might use us. If we're doing as we should, then that will give Him an opportunity to use us for His work. Now, when you think about these men that we support, couldn't they say that the funds they receive are a gift from God? Okay. So that's kind of my point here. This idea that you see the terminology, our gift, and then also His gift. So the surpassing grace of God in you, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. So when we give, let's give with an attitude of one that wants to please God. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions before we go into the next point? Yes, sir?
There's another way to say is motives have to be pure too, because we can't just go through the actions just and say it's done, I did what God wanted me to do, but the motives not being pure, because if not, then it's for naught, it's in vain.
Right, and as far as still the heart, well, not my point here, but the heart
thing
idea.
I'm saying I believe is attitude.
Right.
Motive, it's not pure. It's still, God's not going to accept that worship.
Not as well, right.
The motive isn't the proper motive.
Okay.
It's not acceptable.
Yeah, because all these things really that we've looked at, all the different things kind of run back to where we started in the beginning as far as, you know, God's worthiness and why we should worship. So, yes, sir. Are there any other comments or thoughts or... No? Okay. We'll look at Roman numeral 2, preacher support. Now, we're going to end up turning to some New Testament examples in a moment about men preaching the gospel and getting support. But before we do that, let's look at the Old Testament and see what we can learn there in connection with the support of the work of the Lord. Now, we know that the priests gave their time to God's work, and He provided for them. It said the people gave. Okay? And in the same way, we are to support these men that are doing the Lord's work today. That is, these that are preaching and teaching the gospel. As we will see from these passages, these men were to devote their time to their duties. Now let's look over at 2 Chronicles. We'll read verse 4. Also, he commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. So, what did he command the people to do?
Give their portion due.
Okay, give a portion that was due to the priests and the Levites. Okay, now, why? What was the whole meaning behind doing that?
So they could devote themselves
to the Lord. Okay, so they could devote themselves. Okay. And if you turn over to Numbers 18, we're not going to read the whole thing.
Hey, if I'm doing this, I know you're dying.
Numbers 18. Now, what did the Lord do with the offerings that were given to Him? There's throughout the Numbers 18, it says this same idea or similar words over and over, what did the Lord do with the offerings that were given to him? Okay. Gave them to the priest. So, because we see that over and over, he gave it to the priests and the Levites. The idea of a portion, an allotment. And you see the term gave to the priests and Levites several times throughout this chapter. So we see that what was given to the Lord, he gave to them to support this. Now, we see how it was God's plan to provide for those that were doing his work. And in Philippians 4:18, we see that how Paul was supported by the Philippians. Now, how did he describe this support?
Sweet aroma.
Sweet aroma? Okay. So was this more than just pleasing to Paul then?
Well, pleasing to God.
Okay. So it was a fragrant aroma or a sweet aroma, acceptable sacrifice, or well-pleasing to God. Okay, so this was something that it describes that was definitely good in God's sight, this by them supporting him. Now, in 3 John, we'll look over at 3 John 1. Well,
Craig, I think also
yes, sir.
Where it mentions it's not just that he was supplied. It says have abundance.
Okay. And so in Philippians still.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not just met needs, but it says there's an abundance.
An abundance. Okay. Okay. So that was more than just him getting by. Right. Yes, sir.
Also, verses the other passages. It says acceptable sacrifice. Sometimes it's required to sacrifice on our parts. It doesn't mean that we just give throw some money in the plate, which cause forethought and it.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't mean just giving throwing a few pennies in the plate. If, and I think you made a comment. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to give everything we have, but it does require that we give the Lord
right.
What he worship is what he's for his work.
Right.
And that's what we think he's worth is throwing a few. Well, that's not acceptable.
Well, it's
acceptable sacrifice. That's right. Not acceptable.
It all goes back to our attitude as well. To
show their attitude towards him.
Towards God. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Any other thoughts or comments? Or? Okay. Let's go over to 3 John. In verse, we'll read 5-8. Said, beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. So this shows that we should support such work, but it also tells us something else. What are we doing, or what do we have with these men when we support them in this way?
Fellowship in
the work. Okay. We have fellowship with the work. So
it also says we're acting faithfully.
Acting faithfully, okay.
Okay. Love to the church.
Any other comments or thoughts? Or?
His local brother.
Okay. Let's look at, we'll go over to Roman numeral 3. So we've looked at our attitude towards giving and also preacher support. So now in this section I want to look at just briefly when and also amount. So we looked at how we should give when we looked at our attitude towards giving. And now let's look at when we should give and the amount. So we see from 1 Corinthians 16:2. Let's turn over there. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, that this collection was to be made on the first day of the week. Now, what else in this verse can we learn about this collection?
There's some planning that goes into it. It's just to be put aside and saved.
Okay. Put aside and saved.
And beforehand.
Beforehand, okay. And as they prosper.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so the put aside and save, and as they prospered, so they were doing this on the first day of the week. Yes, sir.
Craig, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to have a wallet. I put that the collection should be sufficient to meet the need of the work. Is that not inferred in this?
I didn't hear you.
The collection should be sufficient to meet the need of the work. I mean, the collection, what's the word? All encompassing, if you will. I mean, it should be sufficient to meet the need for work.
This verse is each one of you.
Right, but it
doesn't say. If you prosper.
What is the last part of that? What is it? That no collection.
So when he gets there, they don't run around
trying to collect all the money.
That doesn't mean that the money that they put aside, that what sets aside the funding is as they prospered, therefore as they gave, not what the need was.
Right.
In other words, if it was a $500 need and they only had to put in $300, and that was according to their...
you couldn't meet it. You couldn't meet it.
Well, that's the answer to your question, I think. There's nothing in this verse, I don't believe, that says the collection, the collection is set by the need.
Well, that's true.
I misunderstood your question.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what the question was on that, but that brings up a good thought because I didn't actually put it in the lesson.
Did you have a budget or whatever,
Well, let me ask something, Jim. Or as far as the is it the idea that they were supposed to put in, we'll take, for instance, our budget. So, as far as your question, if you take it's us giving versus our budget, what is the question?
You should give accordingly, is what I guess I'm trying to say. I mean,
okay.
We know what our budget is, and we have certain obligations. And people know what they give, and if you're going to be shortchanging all the time, knowing that you give a certain amount of that.
Well, I
but isn't that budget set by the number of men that we're supporting also?
Well, that's true, but you know what you give.
Yes.
Hey, let me take you back a minute. I don't know, we may have this, and this is just a practice side for a second. I don't believe this verse, but I don't know anything about it. But,
okay.
I wasn't here. Maybe Rocky was here. But I know about the reputation what happened, about what people said what happened. But in the early 80s, when the congregation, when the country went through a recession, there was a budget. This congregation had a budget. And president were meeting the budget. But then people lost jobs and weren't able to meet the budget. Now, should everybody stepped up and increased their contribution so we met the budget? I mean, is that what being authorized?
But this, no. Okay, understand this one. And we put this passage.
Now, if you're asking me the question, we have a budget, and we all we're working as a team, and we all know what the budget is, and we set the budget on some basis we all agree to. Then, you know, I think most of us are probably looking at that and we're not given on the basis of what the budget is.
Right.
We recognize that we made a commitment. We are a prosperous. We are. I think most people probably purpose what they're going to give. And.
That's what I was going to say, because it has to do with where you purpose. I mean, that number's up there, but I don't think we got that far yet. We're going to look at how they did it in the past as far as amount given.
You got me.
Okay. So we looked at how we should give. I just about to reread that. So we see from 1 Corinthians 16:2 that this collection was to be made on the first day of the week, and we see that it is to do as we've purposed, or as we prosper, and that they were to put aside and to save. So, as we have prospered, we're to give. We're to give on the first day of the week. Now, the New Testament does not specify on the amount. We do know, as we have already looked at, that we are to support this work. We also know that this giving is for the work of the Lord. Okay, so it, again, has to do with our attitude. So the question is, what part do we want to have in that? Okay. We also need to keep in mind as we give, a portion of the blessings we have to support the work of the one, because we're supporting the work of the very one that gives us our blessings. So we need to keep that in mind. Now, we do know in the Old Testament that they were to tithe. And that is that they were to give a tenth of the gross of the earnings. And to the best of my knowledge, that's the best way to put it. If anybody has any input on that, please correct me or what. But to the best of my knowledge, it's basically just a tenth of the gross of the earnings. Now, the New Testament doesn't specify a certain amount. But there are things we need to keep in mind. Now, we have an example of the saints giving according to their ability. Then it goes on to say that this was really beyond their ability. So whatever that is, whatever they were given, it shows that it was beyond their ability. And we also see that as they did this, they had gladness. So they were doing this gladly. So again, we see their attitude towards this. They were glad to serve God and His people in this way. So, just a question to ourselves. Is that how we give? Do we give in this way? Are we a cheerful giver, like what we looked at in 2 Corinthians 9? Let's look over at Mark for a minute. We're in Mark 12. We see here an example of how money was given and how Jesus felt about what was given. So let's read these verses. In 12:41, says, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came in and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them..." I'm going to stop there for a minute. Now, it said in verse 41 that Jesus says that he sat down opposite the treasury and was observing what people were doing as they were, or observing them putting the money into the treasury. What did it say about the rich people? How much were they putting in?
Much.
Okay, so they were putting in a lot of money, or large sums, okay. But when we get into the other part of this section here, in verse 43 it says, "Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned, all she had to live on." So, what does it say the widow put in?
A cent.
Okay, two small copper coins, or the amount to a cent. So,
mm-hmm. 2 mites.
2 mites. Okay. So, who does Jesus say gave the most?
The widow.
The widow did. So you've got a large sum of money and two copper coins. And Jesus said that she gave the most. So why is that? Okay. I'm sorry?
It's comparatively.
Okay.
Like, the rich people had a whole bunch of money, so, you know, it's like, if you look at it percentage-wise, so she didn't have anything, but she gave everything. And
right.
They get a part, and they have everything, or, you know, whatever.
So it was still a large sum, but compared to... I see your point. So,
she was willing to give
it was out of their surplus, is what it said.
Yeah.
You know, abundance.
And out of what was left over. And then she gave out of what she only had. That's
okay.
All she had. So if you look
okay.
at it comparatively, if, you know, I mean, I'm sure if you could actually get a number on it and put a percentage on it, it'd be a lot more.
Right. But it definitely, the point is here, it showed
it
her attitude.
More.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a comment? Would you? I didn't hear.
I was just going to say, you know, the rich was giving out of what was left over, you know, after they fed themselves and bought groceries and paid the bills and all of this, and she probably gave her
okay.
dinner.
Okay. Well, that does bring up a good point. When we give, not something that's in the lesson here, but that's something we need to keep in mind as well, because this idea of what we've purposed. And when we have prospered, that means we've already decided, maybe not dollar amount, but maybe percentage amount. So as we're prospered, you know, when we get that paycheck, so does that mean we say, well, I know I said I was going to give this percent here, but you know, I need this, or I need that. And I'm not saying there might not be some emergency time. I don't know. That's going to be between how you do that. But the idea is, when you get that check, take it off the top. I mean, do that first. That's, you know, as you're prospered, as you've purposed, you've already decided, you know, so you have this, so you do that then. And another point about that is, you know, when we do that, whatever that percentage is that we've decided, we see that in the Old Testament that they did a tenth. Whatever we decide, whatever that amount is, you know, we have to, that's out of the gross. That's not saying, well, after Uncle Sam takes this and that, and we need to think about that. Out of what we have earned, when you get that, whatever you have purposed, that's the time, as you get it, to do that. You had a comment, Jim?
Thank goodness our God doesn't treat us that way. He takes them off the top and what he gives everybody. Well, I had to go help those people over yonder.
Right.
That takes them out. You know, he didn't look that way, but he treats, you know, he's good to us always.
Yeah.
He's not respectful, if you will, and say accommodatively. He's always good to us.
Right.
So we should be grateful for that.
Okay. So, and another thing is, as we saw here, this idea of the of Jesus watching those that were putting into the plate, he's still observing. So we need to keep that in mind, because he knows what we've purposed. So whatever that is, are we doing that? So we need to remember that as we give. And even though I used this example about the widow's mite, I'm not saying that God expects us to give everything. But I wanted to do that to look at her attitude. So, because that her attitude is something we need to think about as we give. So we can see that it has to do with more than amount itself. It has to do with our heart and our willingness to give. So this should be a purpose that we are willing to give for, especially when we consider what has been given for us. I want us to think about one more thing in connection with giving. When we give, keep in mind that those that count on us. And I know, like we just mentioned here, as us purposing, so I hope that we are giving as we've purposed. And I also hope that we have purposed in a way that's considering where our blessings come from and remembering that it's His work that we're supporting with our giving. But we also know that these men that we support, they count on us. Now, in